Dr. Paul, welcome to With the Wind, Science Revealed. My guest today is Tracy. She's the author of the book, Warrior Mom. We go into her journey with getting the diagnosis of autism and dealing with pediatricians, and she's going to walk parents, grandparents, those of you watching, through what to do, the approaches that you can try. Dee Dee wraps this up with her usual incredible mom-to-mom discussion of what this was really like. Enjoy the show. Dr. Paul, coming to you from the heart. My topic today is a tribute to warrior moms and dads. In my practice through the years, you know who you are. I would often tell you, you're such a warrior. Thank you for being such a warrior. I mean, J.B. Handley is a warrior dad, and so many moms in my practice. A lot of times it was moms who were struggling with children who'd been vaccine injured, who were themselves in such a battle just to try to exist. And what is a warrior? What is a warrior mom? This is somebody who's focused, somebody who's brave, somebody who's always there, never giving up. That's not even a consideration, it's not even an option. You fight for your kid no matter what, to the bitter end. In fact, they worry about what's gonna happen if something happens to me, because they know this is for the rest of their lives. This is the hill they're gonna die on, if you will. That's a warrior. You never give up. You fight for your child no matter what, even if it means you have to do it alone. Thankfully, there's a growing army of warriors out there, and thank you for being on that journey and joining and linking arms so we can become an actual army of warriors. Welcome, Tracy Slepcevic. So good to have you on With the Wind.
Thank you for having me.
You are a certified integrative health practitioner. When I saw that, I'm going, oh man, this is awesome. You're a speaker, you're an Air Force veteran, and you are the best-selling author of a book I could not put down, Warrior Mom, A Mother's Journey in Healing Her Son with Autism. Yeah. I am so glad I get to talk to you about this because we went on somewhat parallel journeys, although I didn't have a severely affected child. You've educated yourself in the field of complementary and alternative medicine, and you've really dedicated 14 years of your life researching the various treatments, therapies for individuals with autism spectrum disorder. You've worked with various doctors, scientists, advocates. I read your book, so I know a lot of the things that you've been through. Wow, you are the person, I think, to help moms who are just getting started, or maybe they're on this journey, but a little bit confused. You just weave your personal journey and so much information that parents need. And I just love your statement in there, trust your intuition, your gut instinct. Parents out there, don't forget that advice. So anyway, just to get started, I just want to let you share your journey from the moment of his birth to the time of diagnosis.
Oh, that was a tough birth. And there's a number of things that could have went wrong along the way. But Noah was induced because he was such a big kid. He was almost 9 pounds and posterior. So anybody who knows that you can almost double the weight when they're posterior.
Yeah, it sounds like a C-section waiting to happen.
It should have been a C-section. That was a ridiculous, it was unnecessary to, I wasn't, oh, I have to have a vaginal birth. So Noah was stuck for a very long time to a point as to where they lost his heartbeat.
Wow.
Yeah. So when he came out and I had pushed so hard and for so long that my eyes swelled shut and all my blood vessels broke in my face. And so I couldn't even see him. And until I heard that first cry, I was slightly freaking out. But he's my miracle baby. He came too, and he met all his milestones the first year. He did really well. He was a little colicky and there was not much sleep going on, but he was doing really good. He crawled early. He walked early. We actually called him our little monkey. So wow. He could find something to climb. He would climb it. And he was just all over the place. I took him in for his 1 year well baby visit, the story of many parents, where he received his MMR and varicella vaccines. And within 24 hours, he developed a severe fever and this full body rash. And that fever went on for about, I want to say 5 or 6 days. And I'm calling the pediatrician frantic and she's, oh, it's normal. I just did my best to keep his fever down, rotating Tylenol and Motrin, because that's what they told you back then. And then eventually they had to give him like a mild steroid to remove the rash.
Wow.
And soon after, within a 2 to 3 months, I started to see this slow decline where Noah lost all his speech and some motor skills, some cognitive function.
He had several words, didn't he? Not several actual words, and then lots of sign language. He was quite communicative.
So at 6 months, we went to baby signs together. I even at one point was teaching the classes.
Right.
And so he would do all his sign language, but he lost that as well.
Yeah. And how about his engagement? Because I think I remember reading he was a pretty engaged kid. Good eye contact, very social.
Yep. He had great eye contact. Other than him being colicky as a baby, I didn't have any concerns whatsoever. Everything, he pretty much either hit it on spot or it came early. So yeah.
I remember reading, though, after his shot visits, that 2 month visit, 4 month, 6 month visits, I think you wrote that he had very high fevers.
Yes. So he did have a high fever. And then I would ask the doctor and she would tell me the usual. That's normal.
So I'm a pediatrician, retired now, but I have to tell the viewers that when pediatricians were the guiltiest of this, what we were seeing for our entire careers was kids would get these shots and they would have very high fevers. So when we say it's normal, we really mean it's common.
Right.
It's not normal.
Not normal.
Have 104 fever and be screaming for 2 days, but yeah. It's so common that pediatricians say it's normal. It's actually a clue, I'm guessing you would agree, that something's not right.
Yes. So I always sensed something was going on. I was previous military, so you're very well trained that you get your vaccines and vaccines are good for you. And I didn't watch much news, so I didn't know the dangers. Obviously, the side effects or the warning labels were never read to me, which I'm going to assume typically aren't. And they're like, here, sign here. And I would sign off and be on my way. But I definitely questioned Noah's regression. And again, I got from her, it's normal for toddlers to regress. And then they progress. And I'm
when I was early in pediatrics back in the 1980s, 1990s, it was absolutely not normal for anybody to regress. It just didn't happen. It exploded in the late 1990s and the 2000s.
Yeah. Moving forward, I just did what I was supposed to do. I always say the worst thing that I had to deal with was the ignorance, because I would take him to the park and people would stare, and walking through the airport, he would tantrum. I'd have to wait till he's done to handle him because he was a bit of a beast. He was a strong kid, regardless of his lack of motor skills with balance, and he lost the ability to climb anymore or any of that. So that was my hardest part. Noah wouldn't go to a restaurant. If we took him to the beach, he would absolutely lose his mind if he went anywhere near the water.
Interesting. And he'd never had fear of the water before.
He didn't have a fear of the water before. Oh my God, he loved baths. He loved pools, all of it. He would always try to jump in the pool when we would go to my sister-in-law's house. So there was no question. And Steve, my husband, was a surfer. And his big thing was, I want my kid to be a surfer.
That would be hard if he doesn't want to even go near the water.
From there, we just kept seeing slow declines in a lot of things. And so once he turned 2, I thought to myself, maybe he needs to be social. He needs to be with other children because for all intents and purposes, he was an only child. So I put him in preschool. And I'll tell you, the first day of preschool, I literally sat outside on the bench and I just cried the whole time until I had to pick him up.
Gosh.
He goes, "Just go home, honey." I'm like, "No, I deserted my kid." And it was really tough. But several months later, the director of the school reached out to us and said, "Can I meet with you?" And explained to us that Noah was not making any progress. He didn't want to potty train. He was the kid in the corner that would just sit in the corner, rocking back and forth. He wouldn't engage. He wouldn't circle. He wouldn't anything. And he wasn't talking. So pretty much if you wanted anything out of him, it was screaming. So from there, we just, they told us, they said, "We do recommend that you have him evaluated through the regional center." And I'm like, okay. So we booked a visit, had him evaluated through the regional center. Now the regional center does pre-eval, and then they determine from that pre-eval as to whether you come back and see a clinical psychologist.
This through the schools or through the medical system?
This was through the state. Harbor okay. Regionals are state funded.
Okay. But affiliated so, not directly with the schools. It's more of a medical evaluation.
So there is a part where I go to the school because my evaluation with Harbor Regional Center was absolutely ridiculous because he won't sit still. He's flickering on the lights and he's running around the room screaming. And I'm like, okay, why am I here? And I asked her, I'm like, "Can you tell me anything?" He's either severely ADHD or autistic, but I'm not a clinical psychologist and I can't diagnose that. You don't just tell a parent that, by the way. And so from there, I never wanted to go back to the regional center again. So I didn't know any better to pursue it, to make sure that report got to a clinical psychologist and Noah would properly get an evaluation. I put him from there into a Montessori school. Now, Montessori schools make you engage a little bit more. And then I had issues with Noah being abused by other children because he was just a kid. He, according to the teacher, all he wanted to do was stand in front of or sit in front of the fan and just watch it go around or sit and spin things. He hated wearing shoes and socks, total sensory issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was apparently this little girl who one day bit him and then she got sent home. And then when she came back, she scratched his face. And at this point, I'm not happy. So I
like close to three at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, he was older than three. And yeah, I think it was. He was older than three because I had already taken him to my pediatrician again because my sister was in town. And I'm like, is it possible that my son could have autism? And as that's a very hard question for a parent to ask. And mm-hmm. He was spinning her stethoscope. He's just spinning. And she looks at him and she's, "No, that's pretend play. Kids with autism don't do pretend play."
Nonverbal. He's spinning. He can't make eye contact. He's not social. He's isolating. And yeah, what else do
and
you
he's
need?
Three.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And she's like, "He just needs speech." So I was furious. I'm like, okay, my kid doesn't have autism. He just needs speech. And I don't know what to do because here's the second preschool. I set up a meeting with the owner of the Montessori school, who was actually my husband's client at the time. And that didn't go well because her first words to me, because we were also foster parents at the time, she's, "You need to stop focusing on other children and focus on your own child. And he doesn't belong here. He has special needs." And I'm like, wow.
That had to have been a blow.
The Detroit girl in me wanted to knock her on her ass. But I'm like, I took Noah, I left, and I went back to the office. And I always say, when I felt at my lowest, God would always send me angels. And it's the most beautiful part of my journey because it continued and it still continues in my life that I went back to the office crying. I didn't know what to do. And my husband's, oh, honey, hey, we hired a new front desk lady. Her name's Catherine. And I'm trying to pull myself together to introduce myself. And she's, do you mind if I ask what's wrong? And I said, honestly, I wish I knew what was wrong. I just don't know what's wrong with my little boy. Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, her son had autism. So she knew where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
And she started asking me questions. And I was a little bit in denial when she was asking the questions. I'm like, yeah, he can do that. And so thinking about it, as I was on my way home, I'm like, maybe. And then I came back the next day. I asked more questions from her. And she said, I recommend that you have Noah, now that he is three, evaluated through the school district. So I called up the school district because my pediatrician had given me a referral for speech, to be evaluated for speech. And so they did a phone interview. And in that phone interview, she's, your child needs more than a speech evaluation.
Yeah.
So she's, I recommend a full evaluation. They got me in right away.
That's nice.
And there were, as the stack of questionnaires that us parents get to fill out over and over again. But I had a stack for me. And they said, is there anybody who experiences Noah's behaviors other than yourself and your husband? And I said, his teacher. I asked Miss Ratani, and she happily filled out the questionnaires and she wrote a letter, which I put on my book, explaining all his behaviors. And she did it so well, because if you compared my evaluation or whatever, my packet to hers, because they put like a grid, mine was way off from her. She was completely honest because she wasn't biased. It was great because they needed a non-biased opinion.
Yeah. And I since I used to do this with as a pediatrician, you want to see that what one person is experiencing in one environment, that it's somewhat similar in the other environment. And that's, then you have a good sense, a better sense of what's going on.
Yeah. She did an amazing job. I was forever grateful.
So you're around age 3.5, maybe, and you're getting the sense
that we're a little past three. I think he was about 3 years. Yeah, 3.5. You're absolutely right. So 3.5.
So now you've got a diagnosis, it sounds like.
So I went back and they evaluated him through Launch Preschool in Torrance. And Launch Preschool is a special needs preschool. And they did an amazing evaluation. They had, I think it was 4 or 5 women. One was a child psychologist, two speech pathologists, a special education teacher, and a physical therapist, 5 women. And they took Noah off in another room and evaluated his skill set. And then Steve and I answered 2 hours worth of questions.
A zillion questions.
It's almost like an interrogation, but I was so grateful that they were so thorough. And from there, they met for 20 minutes and then they came back in the room and they were like, I'm very sorry to say, but we do find that Noah is autistic, as school districts can't diagnose autism. So I did take that report. I went back to the regional center where he was formally diagnosed. Now, at this point, when the school told me, first of all I heard was autism. I didn't hear anything else that woman was telling me, because she was giving me this whole list. She's, we're going to give him his services, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I have no idea. And from there, I had to run back to the office. And this is where I say that God sends me my second angel. So Dr. Joshua Burka, he was my naturopath and his office was adjacent to ours. And he was walking down the hall and he saw me crying and he reaches out and gives me a hug and he's, what's the matter? And I said, Noah has autism. And he backs up for a second and just looks at me and he said, Noah's going to be fine. He said, I want you to go home. I want you to do your research. And kids are making great strides with biomedical intervention. He said, I don't treat autism. He said, but there are many doctors that do. And so that was my fork in the road. I could have played woe is me, my kids got autism, or suck up the tears and get back to work, which is what I did.
Where your mom was born.
Yes. And I had no idea I had it in me, honestly.
So I want to get into Warrior Mom now, because we've got a limited amount of time and people need to hear what they can do, because you've done a lot, right? So it took a while to get to that point where, okay, you've accepted a diagnosis that you didn't want, nobody wants, and now you've got to get into action. Tell us a bit about that. What things did you do first? What things were most impactful?
My first book was Louder Than Words by Jenny McCarthy. And then I read The Four A's, and I read, I'm trying to think. Anyways, I just kept reading books, and all of them said, do gluten-free, dairy-free. I started gluten-free, dairy-free. And in the meantime, I was trying to find a Dan doctor. And in LA County, they were all overcharging. And at this time, we didn't have a lot of money because my husband fights big insurance. And during that time, he exposed the big insurance companies and Steve Poizner, who was the insurance commissioner of California at the time, for fraud and collusion. And then he wound up in a whole smear campaign and on the front page of the LA Times.
So you have today a situation that's so similar to the majority of moms and dads out there who have a child diagnosed with autism. Money's tight, and there are so many things you can do. Let's start with the things you did and tell me how it went. So gluten-free, dairy-free, how did that go?
Diet. And it's important to know that first and foremost, you have to, I set a clear intention that my kid was going to heal. Money didn't stand in my way. I bartered for treatments. I sold stuff. I did fundraisers. I did whatever I had to do. So
Warrior.
It's important that parents know that, because I have heard the sob story of I don't have. I didn't have either. That's first and foremost. Clear intention, your child is going to live a normal functioning life. And then you start on your path. Diet, supplementation was second.
With the diet for a moment, I want to finish that story. You did gluten-free, dairy-free. Did you see any difference?
Oh, yes.
How long did it take?
Just after the first month, Noah was spitting out. I had already worked. I worked with him one-on-one with language for a long time. So he had single word echolalia. He just didn't understand what I was saying or what he was saying. So I couldn't get those two words together. So now I was starting to get two words together.
And before the gluten-free, dairy-free, or after?
Once I started the gluten-free, dairy-free.
Yeah.
I had single word echolalia before from practicing like cue cards. And then he started putting words together. And then once I found the most perfect doctor, which my naturopath had to assist me with, he called all the Dan doctors in LA County and was asking them, what kind of tests do you run? What's your protocol? What labs do you use? And how much do you charge? Dr. West was amazing. She allowed me to make payments. I just made it happen. Nobody could say no to me. So after we got his test results back, we found out he was full of yeast from antibiotics, like repeated antibiotics from ear infections. So Noah was an ear infection baby. And then he had tubes put in his ears. So from there, we started doing supplementation, and some of it had to be IV supplementation because he was so depleted in his vitamins and there was too much yeast in his body for him to absorb anything. And then we went totally clean diet. So if you can pick it, pluck it, grow it, skin it, you can eat it.
Okay.
So
whole food, real food.
Whole food, real food. So no gluten, no dairy, no soy, no yeast, no sugar, no refined carbohydrates. None of it. And I did this too. I, right along with my kid, there wasn't anything I made him eat that I did not eat myself.
Yeah. That's so actually, folks, probably the only way to make it really stick. I've had a handful of severely nonverbal autistic kids who, when they finally did it, truly went gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free. I had a nonverbal kid who was 4 and a half who finally walks in and goes, Dr. Thomas, my Thomas Chu, a sentence with his little train. I got goosebumps. Incredible. Now, it doesn't always work out that way, but you have to try it. You've got to try it like religiously, right? As you did.
You do. And you have to be strict. Like I research products. What is gluten in products? What can be absorbed through the skin? Anything. You name it. I was very cautious and careful. We also had to do, he had a lot of heavy metals. He had a lot of aluminum, mercury, and maybe some lead back then.
And did you do IV chelation? Found somebody that could do that, or did you do more of the topicals?
Dr. West did do IV chelation. Back then, it was an IV push. And it was brutal.
How did he tolerate that?
So he didn't. I went ahead, and after I saw his reaction, I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and have it done. And I have a high tolerance for pain. And my husband actually ripped it out of his arm. The aching was excruciating from an IV push. Now they dilute it so much in saline that it's not a big deal. But my naturopath had told me, Tracy, I really think that IV chelation is just too harsh. It's too many heavy metals dumped into the system all at once. And so I'm not a personal fan of IV chelation unless it's absolutely necessary. Now, there are times where it's when there's heavy metals.
No, I support you on that. I feel the same way. I did just a trial dose to see what would come out on one of my kids, and I lost him for a month. So you've mobilized all these toxins and you're re-exposing them to them. So it has to be done very carefully.
I felt like the worst mom ever.
Oh, hey, I hear you. I took my kid. I just adopted a bunch of kids and we went to Disneyland, and I looked at the pictures later, and the one kid I had just done that test on, there was nobody home. He had a blank in all pictures. There was nobody home. I was like, oh, tell me some of the other things you did. Because I gathered from reading your book, you tried a lot of different things.
I did.
What did you try, and which things did you feel were really making a difference?
Okay. So supplementation, obviously, I used to just put it all in a little juice cocktail and syringe it with a couple meals. We did hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which was awesome. It helped a lot with his behaviors. Now, I caution, as you may also, that children typically cannot clear their ears in a pressurized environment. But my son had tubes, so I didn't have to worry about that. Thank God. And we just put and I bartered for that treatment. I'm like, listen, I'll do your marketing. I will work your front desk. I'll even scrub your toilets if you want me
to. Good for you.
So they exchanged in place for marketing 40 sessions of hyperbarics. So I would take Noah twice a week and we'd put the helmet on. He'd have his cotton clothes. Time to go on the spaceship. And we'd go in together, and I saw great results from that. Less behaviors, a little more eye contact. The gut, it usually flares up what's going on in the gut first before it actually does this, before it starts to really work.
What age was he when you're doing the hyperbaric?
He was 4.
Okay. So you did a lot fairly quickly after you became Warrior Mom.
Yeah. And we had to do IV supplementation. When he was 7, we went to the Ukraine for stem cell therapy under the Bradstreet protocol. I'm sure you remember
Dr. Bradstreet. We lost a hero there.
Yeah. He recommended 6 months prior to, we only had about 4 months to do it, GC MAF injections, which are GC proteins, macrophage activating factors. Those injections were nothing short of amazing for the immune.
What change did you see?
He never got sick. No, he used to always get sick. And I took them as well. And then I never got sick. And anything that I had that might have been viral affecting me was gone. But it wasn't anything that stayed, right? So we did the injections for 4 months. And then we went to the Ukraine for stem cell therapy. And at that time, we did fetal stem cells. Now, I have Noah's stem cells banked, but they're FDA regulated and I can't touch them.
Ah, that's terrible.
So unless it's something that's FDA approved for stem cell therapy, I can't ever touch those. I just got to pay for them.
Oh my gosh. What's wrong with that?
I know.
So,
I really won't have them.
What other thing? Did you do any neurofeedback or low dose?
We did some neurofeedback probably after the stem cell therapy when Noah was a little bit older because he was so sensory, everything.
He was still sensory. And how is he doing after all of those interventions?
So neurofeedback, I didn't see a lot of progress. Maybe just a little bit, but not a whole lot. And every kid responds differently to every type of treatment. All the parents that I've spoke to and I've mentored over the years, I've seen parents that have gone the distance like me, and then their child still can't speak. So for that, then they're spelled to communicate. And now Stellar's just came out.
Yep.
And that's pretty big, which is super amazing.
Yeah.
Because it shows you how brilliant these kids are. Like, you think they are neurologically challenged. Because we used to call them retarded back in the day, right? No eye contact, and couldn't talk. But they're so smart.
Yeah. JB Hanley's he's a friend and a local, their pediatrician. And Jamie, the son, who's now 18 or so, young adult, is in this movie, Spellers. And yeah, he can go to college. The brain was working the whole time. He couldn't communicate. Can you imagine the frustration? So, yeah.
And solitary confinement.
Yep. Like,
not being able to communicate. It's
yeah. So my guess is you did D3, B6, B12, maybe B12 shots, glutathione. So
we had to do methylated B12 as well because Noah and I carry one of the MTHFR genes.
So, almost always best. SAMe, DMG, amino acids, GABA, melatonin. Probiotics, healing the gut with digestive enzymes, Epsom salts to get some magnesium in. And I'm curious, how old is he now and how is he functioning at this point?
So he just turned 18 a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
He graduated in June and he got his driver's license 5 months ago.
He's driving?
Off on his own, doing whatever. Like, he had a doctor's appointment today and our functional medicine doctor is like 45-minute drive. He had to go get an IV ozone today because we also had to treat pandas. Pandas is huge. So for those out there, it's pediatric autoimmune neuropsychotropic disorder associated with streptococcus. So high levels of strep can cause inflammation on the brain, can cause regression. And I never knew until recently after talking to Dr. Pierre Corey that it could be life-threatening. Honestly, had no idea, but his daughter almost died from pandas.
Yeah. No, the autoimmune stuff is tricky to manage. So clearly, you're still working with your son.
So we're still managing strep because now Noah's older. You kept all this food from me that tastes so good. I said, that's because it's not food. So, you know, he hangs out with his friends, but he's very high functioning. I feel like COVID regressed him a little bit in the social area. He has this group of friends. There's a group of five or six of them. And he does go hang out with his friends. But as to be around new people, it really takes him a while to really warm up to them. And at times he'll just walk out and leave.
Yeah.
So he's doing really great. He's learning independence. He's going to the doctors on his own and getting his
IVs
all by himself.
Yeah. What a success story.
He doesn't care about IVs. He's gotten so many in his life, unfortunately. But I have to really, when I hear him cough or whatever, the kid is so susceptible to everything that I really just have to. And he agreed for the rest of his life to allow me to manage his health care or until he feels he could do it himself.
Yeah. Thank you for being such an amazing warrior mom. Folks, you want to read this book. And just while I'm at this point, and then I'm going to have Dee Dee come chat with you kind of mom to mom, getting into the nitty gritty, what it's like to be a mom going through this, because a lot of people sadly, we'll still be going through this. Our autism rates, as you obviously know, are just still skyrocketing. It's insane. And oh, I didn't ask you, what did you do with vaccines after the 12-month visit?
So I didn't realize it was the vaccines. So Noah was continuously vaccinated until he was 3. And then when I found out after I started reading the books, all the different books, that it was probably contributed the onset of it by vaccines. And then also, if you think about it, I was military. So I received a lot of vaccines as well.
Yeah.
You can pass on your toxic load to your child.
Sure. The vaccine issue, what's your recommendation now, knowing what you know, for parents today?
You really want me to answer that?
If you're willing.
Okay. I'm willing. I wouldn't recommend, this is my own personal recommendation, not a doctor, but I wouldn't recommend a single vaccine. Andy Wakefield exposed the CDC for the cover-up on the link between the MMR vaccine and autism. And there's so many other studies out there. After the COVID vaccine came out, that's just a kill shot. You might have got the placebo, you might have got the mild dose, but honestly, people are dropping like flies. So people don't see the vaccines are just dangerous. So I truly feel that vaccines are used to neurologically challenge our children so they can be easily manipulated and programmed. In which my son has been very programmed over the past couple of years.
It's tough when they go off to college and they're thinking for themselves, so they think.
Yeah.
At the very least, it's a cash cow for pharma, because not only are they making massive profits on the vaccines themselves, but they're developing a population with all these chronic problems that also require chronic medications, more money. At the very least, major conflicts of interest. I want to have you chat with Didi, but before I leave and bring her on here, on the medical side of things, you've got new mom, new dad. They're just realizing their kids, something's not right, or maybe they've just been told, your child has autism. Just 1, 2, 3, what are the most important things they do?
Evaluated by a clinical psychologist. You have therapists and everything that are saying, oh, they don't have autism. They're not qualified. Clinical psychologist. 2, trust your intuition. God's talking to you, I promise. 3 is start the diet, regardless. The diet will benefit all of us. First of all, genetically modified food. Glyphosate, I think, is just as bad as vaccines. It's in our air, our water, our clothes, our everything. It's sickening.
It's not organic, and even some of the organic is suspect. You're getting glyphosate.
Yeah. So non-GMO, organic together, and grow the stuff in your backyard. My whole yard, if you can find a spot, has something planted.
But that's awesome.
So get them to a functional medicine doctor. You can go through medmaps.org, has certified doctors that test for those underlying conditions associated with autism and other neurological disorders as to where they can find out what's going on. Because then they build a protocol and a plan.
Yeah. MedMaps took over where Dan left off. Defeat autism. Yep. Most of those doctors are now MedMaps doctors. And you're absolutely right. And if you can't find one of those, there are a lot of different integrative, functional, alternative, complementary docs who at least will start you on the right path.
And then throw everything at them but the kitchen sink. If you can research it and try it and whatever, I say do it. And go to a conference. I'm hosting a conference, the Autism Health Summit, autismhealth.com. And you'll have some of the best speakers, including Dr. Paul Thomas here. And you want to be able to engage with other parents. That's so important. Engage with other parents, get knowledge, constantly learn what is best for your child. Don't listen to me. Figure it out yourself. You can. Every parent is capable. And stay in prayer, because God will always send you angels when you need them the most, I promise.
Amen. Yes, that trusting your intuition, and sometimes that's God talking to you. And you are a resource, so thank you. I always used the term warrior moms, and then you went and wrote the book. because it seemed like so many of my autistic, especially the more severe challenged ones, it was the moms, sometimes dads, but it was almost always the moms that were just going for it, no matter what it took. Yeah. And so if you are one of those parents who are faced with this task, if you will, step up to the plate. It's going to be okay. It will always get better. And as your story proved, if you just keep at it, true, miraculous recovery can happen.
Faith and love.
There you have it. All right. I'm bringing on Dee Dee Hoover. She is a warrior mom of her own sort and does amazing work as well. And you guys are going to have a fun talk.
Hi, Tracy. Thank you for being willing to dig in with me as a mom and answer probably a few more personal questions.
Absolutely.
What were and maybe are the biggest challenges you faced then, if you had to pick one or two? And what are the biggest challenges you face now?
So back then was, as I told Dr. Paul, ignorance.
Okay.
Parents, people in general would see your kids screaming, throwing a tantrum, not acting normal. And they would I'd hear them whisper, they'd say something. And so to me, that is one of the toughest things. And today, my biggest challenge is brainwashing. As I also told Dr. Paul, I truly feel like the vaccines are meant to really neurologically challenge these children and make them so susceptible, vulnerable to manipulation. Mm-hmm. And everything that's going on out in the world, they're so in tune to electronics. So my biggest thing is really getting through to Noah. Now, Noah's very loving. He loves his mom and gives me hugs all the time. He's just a really good kid all around. But it takes so much to actually feed him knowledge because I don't want to hear it. Okay. And usually sometimes this is where ABA therapy comes in. Bribery. It works occasionally. At first, I tried to bribe him to watch Plandemic 3. And he said no. He didn't care how much I offered him. He's no, I will not watch it. And then he wanted to go to Disneyland with his friends. And I'm like, okay, I'll get your ticket to Disneyland. And but they can't afford to go. And I'm like, huh. Okay. I said, then I will get your ticket and theirs and pay for gas if you watch Plandemic 3. And actively watched, no phone, no headphones, no nothing. You are just clear. He sat in we have our office in our home and there's a camera in the office so I can watch him. And then afterwards, I never excited. He's, don't expect me to answer any of your questions, but he actually had questions after. Now, Noah is a film nerd. He's been taking film for over 4 years. So all through high school, he took film and film editing. And so that's his passion. He wants to be a film editor. And so he'll pick out certain things. He'll watch films closely just to see how they're put pieced together, which is cool. And he's, Mom, I may not agree with everything that's in the film. Maybe some of it, but it was very well made. And
cool.
That's a huge compliment.
I'll make sure that Nikki Willis knows.
I know. I did. I texted Nikki. I'm like, Noah said your film was well made.
I want to say something about the first challenge back then, and that was other people's ignorance. And when you're in public, I know one of the first times that my son was actually pretty young. I was in an airport. And this other child was rocking and moving and screaming. And I was just learning about these different behaviors. Didn't fully at that time understand autism. But I saw, as a mom, I saw a mom that needed help. So I just went up and was nothing about the child. I said, can I grab your bag so you have two hands to deal with your child? What I would love for you to just share is, I think some people think that when you're in that situation, don't bother me, don't go around, or if they don't understand it, they shouldn't say or do anything. But if they're just staring, that's not helpful. For me, and this woman said, she looked up at me and started crying and said that was the first time ever that anybody was willing to walk up to her and offer any kind of support, even if she had just told me no.
I could tell you nobody ever offered me. And the biggest meltdowns were in airports because my family lives in Michigan. So I would fly back and forth every now and then. And that was the hardest thing. He would have a major meltdown tantrum and I would just wait for him to wear himself out. And then I'd pick him up and I'd put him on the plane. There was one time that I was riding on a plane and I was riding behind, there was this woman and her daughter, and you can tell she was on sensory overload. She was screaming, you name it. And then as we got up, the woman next to me said, some people should keep their children at home. I said, you know what? Maybe you should take into consideration that some people probably can't or may not have that assistance, but need to travel with their kid. And then maybe that child has autism. Maybe they're on sensory overload. And I didn't know what kind of response I was going to get from that, but she looked at me and she said, you know what? She said, you are absolutely right. And I am completely insensitive. Thank you.
Right. And I think that's the thing is, if you don't say anything, nothing's going to change. So that was the point of that challenge, is that I think it's okay for people, even if someone doesn't want your help, don't take it personally, but be willing to be that person that is going to either offer help or at least not say something rude or roll your eyes. Okay, next question. I have heard many heartbreaking stories from moms that have said that the hardest part for them, their children reach 12, 13, 14, and are not in the situation where you were with your son. But I'll always ask, what's the hardest part? And they'll always say that there's a depth of missing them. All children, even little bitty children, will say, I love you, mom. And in your book, you mentioned those four words. Can you tell me how that felt in that moment?
Oh my God. So every time I used to give Noah a shower and I'd get him out and I'd dry him off, I'd be like, I love you, Noah, just in hopes that he would say it back. And one day he did. And I was just like in tears. It was the best feeling ever. And not every parent has that opportunity to experience that. There are children who do not respond like Noah did to treatments and therapies. And they are still unable to speak, but there's still hope. There's always hope. You have to have faith that your child will be successful. And that's number one. You really just have to believe it, because where the mind goes, energy flows. And you truly have to, I can tell you with every ounce of my being, I believed that Noah was going to live a fully functioning life. There wasn't anybody that was going to tell me that he wouldn't. I moved forward and that was my goal. I feel I accomplished that goal.
What do you say? What do you say to those moms, dads, grandparents, caregivers when they feel broken and defeated? I love that the name of the book is Warrior Mom. And like Doc said, he calls me a warrior mom. Of course, we don't feel like we're doing anything special or wonderful. We're just taking care of our children. And we both refuse to listen to what other professionals told us. But what about those people that don't, who are listening to those doctors say, like someone said to you, he's always going to need one-on-one care. When someone hears that, what do you say to those parents, those people?
First of all, go find a new doctor.
Yes.
But our number one job as parents is to love our children, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just love them. You just love them and you have faith and put everything that you have, hard work, dedication, you name it, they can come too, but you have to truly believe it.
It sounds like faith was your saving grace. I was hearing you talk, and like in my world, angels popped in. Angels are big. That's what when I feel like I don't know how I'm going to do this, then I'll just start praying for God to put somebody in my life. So is that what you would say was your saving grace through everything?
It was. And I always had my mother, like my mom in my ear as a birdie. Because as I grew up, it was tough love. If you fell down for yourself, you got back up and brushed it off. There was no nurturing. There was no babying. I am a nurturing mom. But it made me tough as to where I'll have parents come to me over the last like 13 or so years that I've been a parent mentor. And they're like, but I can't take milk away from my kid. He loves it so much. And I'm like, good. How about you just go ahead and hand him a glass of whiskey? It's doing the same damn thing. And while you're at it, go find a new mentor. Because if you're not willing to resistance, I'm not willing to mentor you. Not
we
to be
a lot in common.
A-hole, but this is my free time, right? You are utilizing my time. And I do work for a living. And I'm at the distance for parents that I mentored. I would literally like, some of them, if they were local, I would go to the grocery store with them. I would tell them, show them different ingredients and stuff that they should avoid. I always went all out. And that's why all the parents that I mentor are like, you should write a book.
Yes, you should. And you did. So last couple of questions, and I know we're running out of time. What are your hopes for Noah as he enters this next phase of his life into adulthood?
Noah's on his own perfect journey, as every human being is. Mm-hmm. And my hope for him is to be successful, that he doesn't fall deeper into the rabbit hole of believing a lot of the left-sided stuff. But really, at some point, you just have to let go and let God take over.
Yep.
And trust that he's on his own perfect journey. If he falls down, you could be there and pick him back up. Sometimes they just have to fall down.
They do. That's how they learn how to get back up. It's what I'm learning. So what would Noah say is your superpower?
My superpower.
Yeah. What would Noah say is your superpower?
Probably love and nurturing, because
that's what my son said.
To the point is where he's, Mom. No, but he's really good because he's very loving himself. So if he sees that I'm like a little, he'll come here, I'll give you a hug. You okay?
Oh.
Hey, Mom? No. So nurturing. And it's not just him. I gravitate, like I've taken care of my nephews as they've grown up, because my sisters aren't the greatest parents, and nurtured them through their stuff. And I took on an old friend's daughter, who is now like my own daughter, that I absolutely adore. And she's amazing. It's like, and Steve and I, we just gravitate these kids into our lives to be mentors, to be in service to others, because that should be the goal of everybody, is not so much to be successful or to do certain things, but to just be in service. I didn't write a book to make money, because if you knew what royalties on books were, you definitely know you don't write books to make money. But to just truly be in service. So I always tell people, read my book. If you have questions, email me after. Because everything I would tell you in an email, I put in the book. So,
no, you did. It's probably one of the most, I can't wait for it to be on Audible. If I can listen to it again.
I share my Audible.
I know. It's going to be on Audible, y'all. I think the biggest thing for me, not being a reader, the one thing that was perfect in this book was the way you have everything laid out and titled. So for someone who's dyslexic like myself, or a mom who's trying to handle everything with a special needs child and all the appointments and all the things, to sit down and read this book can be very difficult. You wrote it in a way that is perfect for those of us that have a difficult time reading. So thank you for that. So our last little bit here, what is the most important thing that you want other people to know? Parents, everyone watching, what's your final words to everybody?
My final words are to always have faith, always question. Don't believe everything that you hear. Do your research. and go the distance, because life is short and there's a small window for these kids, a very small window. The younger they are, the better chance of recovery. Not that they can't be successful past a certain age, but there's a small window and you have a lot of work to do in that small window. There's no better time than now. And don't ever let money stand in your way. Money or material things, they mean nothing. I short sailed my home so my kid could have stem cell therapy. I sold everything I just about could pick up and put on eBay back then. And I bartered for treatment. Mm-hmm. I did whatever I had to do, but everyone knew that I was very determined. And if people see that, if you put that energy out that you are like, this is what you're going to get for your child, the results are amazing.
You do. And one point to that, I don't know if you said anything to Dr. Paul about it, but there's a lot of rumors and things that go out about the different autism groups that are out there. And some people will say, oh, I've heard all this, so I'm not going to support those. One thing for parents out there that maybe can't afford it is there are support systems out there to help. And I'm just now getting into diving into those and supporting those. But you yourself have a group, is that correct?
I do. So I'm going to be doing a conference, Autism Health Summit. And that conference is going to be February 2nd and 3rd of 2024. Okay. And it'll be an opportunity for parents to connect, to hear some of the greatest speakers out there in the autism community. Del Bigtree isn't even doing any speaking engagements because he's working with Bobby Kennedy on his campaign, but he offered to do mine. And I actually didn't take no for an answer.
That's the way you do it. And that's the thing is people like Del, Doc, lots of people are, when we're asked and called into action, we will. And I think that's the thing is people need to understand, ask for help, ask for support, do anything for your child, like you said. We will put up all the links, all the things to your work, to the book, to everything, because the more people read and learn, the more they're going to be able to help your own child. And for those that have healthy children that have not gone through any of that, there's a lot you can do to support the people who are in crisis with their children.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Tracy. I can't wait to be in the same room with you in February.
I'm excited to meet you in person as well.
Thank you very much for your time and for all you do.
Thank you.
I look forward to running together with the wind at our backs, revealing the science that gives clarity in our world that's full of propaganda and misinformation. Visit our website, doctorsinscience.com. Sign up. Donate if you can. Your support makes a difference. And let's make this the weekly show the world has been waiting for. Thanks for watching. I'm Dr. Paul.